The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line, man in line today by calling 66 13 68. Just tell the other man what's important to you, what matters to you. If you can make sense of anything for us, then we really appreciate it. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio@manxradio.com. That story's rumbling on earlier on this week. Of course, the Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, was on with her chief officer, Dan Davis. And obviously, Home Affairs is very much concerned with the security of the Isle of Man. And certainly, we talked about the fact that the prison is almost full. Coincidentally, the biggest selling newspaper on the Isle of Man, the Daily Mail, did a big feature on the Isle of Man, just saying that we're overrun, apparently, with Liverpool drugs gangs. Well, as Dan Davis said, never look the facts, let the facts get in the way of a good story. The use of ketamine on the Isle of Man is increasingly being flagged as a big concern. A Deemster issued a warning during the sentencing of a man caught in Douglas with thousands of pounds worth of the drug. And certainly the use of drugs on the Isle of Man, and that's tied through to criminal activity and subsequently to the gangs in Liverpool, is something that really should concern everybody. Yes, the use of illegal drugs on the Isle of Man. And remember, most drugs are illegal on the Isle of Man, apart from the pharmaceutical ones. Well, who knows where that's going to lead. And certainly there was much talk at the time when the Home Affairs were in, talking about the security on the boat. Anyway, that or anything else, you're on by calling 66 13 68. Former MHK Chris Robertshaw's with us now. Hi, Chris.
Andy, hi. Thanks for taking my call so early on. What I really wanted to do was follow up on your programme with Jane Paul Wilson. Was it earlier this week? I can't remember.
It was, yes. It seems like ages ago, doesn't it?
It does. And specifically about the current tension between her department, the AG's department, and the Employment and Equalities Tribunal. Now, what I'll try to do, because I know it's a sort of a quick shoot programme here, I'll try and encapsulate what was really going on between myself and Jane Paul Wilson earlier in the week when I couldn't get an answer out of her. Let me just very, very quickly touch on the principles. It's all about the good future of the Employment and Equality Tribunal. Going back very quickly, it's self-evident to almost everybody on the Isle of Man that the Equalities and Employment Tribunal took significant exception to the behaviour of AG's department during the Rosalind Ranson affair. Now, any reasonable person seeing that would say, OK, what is government going to do about reforming the AG's department? And that's what I expected to happen. The reverse is happening. What's happening is the AG's department, and it seems now in conjunction with the Minister of Justice, are doing what they can to emasculate the Employment and Equalities Tribunal. And I don't say this lightly, and this is something that everybody should be concerned about, because everybody, almost everybody, is an employee. And what the government is trying to do through the AG's department and through Jane Paul Wilson is reduce the effectiveness of what currently is a good and employment tribunal. How are they trying to do it? First of all, they're placing advocates who sit inside the AG's department to actually work as members of the employment tribunal. The second and really serious thing, which I tried to get Jane Paul Wilson to talk about earlier in the week on your programme, was this whole issue about supporting the Richard Wright KC report. Now, that report specifically tries to infer blame about that whole Roslyn Ranson affair and its outcome on the Employment Tribunal, which is utterly incorrect. But what the AG's department is subtly trying to do here in emasculating the Employment Tribunal, not only putting their own people inside the Employment Tribunal, but they want Jane Poole Wilson and her department, and therefore council ministers and Tim Wald, to get a hold of the idea that we should have a Deemster in charge of the tribunal. Now, that is utterly wrong. Let me quickly explain why. The Employment and Equalities Tribunals in the UK are much more complex than ours and run very much in their formats closer to the way high courts work, i.e. very complicated, very expensive and long-winded. To its great credit, the Isle of Man, when it introduced the Employment and Equalities Tribunal, brought in a much simpler system, which was designed to give employees a fair chance of what you might call their day in court. And it's specifically laid out in the rules, and I'll just pick very quickly some of those rules out. One of them, under Rule 7, is ensuring that parties are on an equal footing. The actions of the Attorney General's Office and the Minister of Justice is trying to undermine that principle. Two, avoiding unnecessary formality and seeking flexibility in the proceedings. Again, the Manx Radio is quite twice put on two pieces recently to show that there's an attempt to undermine that. Three, avoiding delay so far as compatible with proper consideration of the issues. Again, the AG's department are trying to make sure they're extended and complicated. And finally, saving expense. Well, the whole point about the way the AG's department wants to engage with the Employment Tribunal is to make it expensive. So they want it expensive, litigious and long-winded. And they know, the AG's department know full well, that most people will walk away at that stage. And that is what the chairman of the Employment and Equalities Tribunal is actually saying is happening. Now, if Jane Poole Wilson takes this motion to the floor of Tim Wald, she's got a good chance of getting it through because the council ministers have got 10 votes. They've only got to find three more and they've done it. So I'm saying today to all the members of Tim Wald, wake up, smell the coffee and realise what's happening here, because it's an absolute disgrace, Andy.
Well, the chair, Douglas Stewart, said he didn't want to see complainants ground down by undue formality, particularly if they're funding the litigation themselves through a lawyer, advocate or are without legal representation. He said it's not right that complainants with a case having prima facie merit should be deprived of their day in court due to an uneven playing field. Is that right?
Absolutely right. And listen to this. Currently, there's in fact, Manx Radio have dealt with it today. Dr. Kelly Ann Elliott, who's trying her best to get her case into the Employment Tribunal and is being supported as a prima facie case worthy of consideration. But the AG's department are trying to make it as, you know, as complicated as possible. But hear this. Who is it that's now, as it were, standing for Manx Care's position in all of this? It's an advocate called Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R. Not only is he trying to make the whole principle more and more complex, like the UK, to stop people applying to the Employment Tribunal, but he has actually been put on the Employment Tribunal to consider other cases. So that shows you how hard they're trying to inculcate the AG's department control into this whole thing. And the Appointments Commission should be downright ashamed of themselves for letting these advocates in the AG's department become members of the tribunal. I'm telling you now, Andy, and I want the members of Tim Wald to listen to this. They're trying to destroy the value to the Isle of Man of our employment tribunal, and in so doing, they're undermining any chance in the future of whistleblowers and genuine complainants, all anybody in government could be in that position, anybody in the private sector. This could affect anybody. And Timwald will be tested when it's Jane Poole Wilson is foolish enough, I can't see how she's doing it as the Minister of Justice, foolish enough to bring this disgraceful proposal to Timwald. I will want to know exactly how everybody voted, and I don't want to see any members of the Council of Ministers hiding behind the fact that they're a member of Council of Ministers. Council of Ministers should throw this out before it gets anywhere near the floor of Timwald. It's a disgrace.
Why do you think they're doing it?
They're doing it because they want to control. They've seen the fact that they were shamed by the Rosalind Ransom efforts because she stood up to them. And she fought in a way that many other people couldn't fight because her husband was a barrister. And the AG's department doesn't like it. And they're trying to crush not only claimants and whistleblowers, but they're trying to defenestrate, if you like, the employment tribunal. It's, you know, Andy, and I'm sorry to use this word, it's close to corrupt practice, this, and everybody's got to wake up. And I will follow minute by minute what happens in Timwald if Jane Poole Wilson, who I now declare is more the Minister of Injustice than the Minister of Justice, if she's foolish enough to bring this forward.
Okay, Chris, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today.
Have a good day, Andy. Thanks.
Thank you. 17 minutes past 12 on Man in Line today. And Peter's on now. Hello, Peter.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. You're addressing the nation.
Right, okay, thank you. I'm lucky enough to drop my granddaughter off at school every morning. Just lately, she's been coming home hungry every day. Anyway, found out yesterday that they had a roast dinner on at the school, but they weren't. It was dry. They weren't allowed to have gravy with it. And the day before, they had a jacket potato with tuna. They're not allowed mayonnaise or salad cream or anything. It was just plain. I mean, I've heard that there's at least 10 parents that have stopped the kids this last few days at her school alone.
And which school is it, Peter?
I'm not willing to say that because I spoke to the headmaster this morning about it, and he can't make a comment because his hands are tied. He's not allowed to say whether he's for the school meals now or against it. I mean, they get nothing other than a drink of milk or orange juice or anything like that afterwards. They're just getting milk or they're getting apple or orange or pear.
Right.
That's all they're getting.
Is this because of the new recipe, isn't it? This is the new cuisine that apparently they're cutting out trans fats and this, that and the other and sourcing more stuff locally that's happened fairly recently. This is the new regime, isn't it, Peter?
It is, yeah. But unfortunately, I mean, the kids are coming home hungry. And we all know that hungry kids do not learn. You know, there's something gone wrong again. I mean, I totally understand that they don't want processed food. I understand that. But, I mean, surely all that starts at home. You know, people want to stop taking the kids to McDonald's every day. That might help for a start off.
Okay.
But to force our kids to go to school and have a roast dinner without even gravy is ridiculous. Mm. And the only vegetable that was on was cauliflower. She doesn't like cauliflower. There wasn't any cabbage or sprouts or anything like that. It was just cauliflower.
And so the truth is they're not allowed to serve gravy or they just didn't have any?
No, they're not allowed to serve gravy.
Wow.
Okay. And they're not allowed to have salad cream or mayonnaise in with the tuna. It's just plain tuna in a jacket potato.
Okay. All right. What else is on your mind, Peter?
Well, the other thing is this offshore wind farm that they're proposing off the East Coast.
Yeah.
I think the Isle of Man needs to start and stand up. The people of the Isle of Man, shall I say, should start and stand up and put their voice forward and demand a referendum on this. I mean, these things are going to be as tall as the Eiffel Tower, 6 miles off our coast. And then we're going to buy the electricity back from England. I mean, how ridiculous can our government get? And you've got all the cruise liners coming in with all these tourists, and they want to go on the electric trams and everything down to Ramsey or on the up to Snaefell, and all they're going to see is these wind farms. They're going to decimate our coastline for generations. And the people of government, which are driving their own agenda, basically, need to hang their heads in shame. I mean, we've got one in Garth, which she needs to look for another job, because she won't get elected again.
So, well, we have a net zero policy. That's the thing, that this came in years and years ago, Peter, is that the government is on the rails. They're dead set on this net zero policy. It's in there. So if we don't have one offshore, where should we have one? Onshore, the one in the south?
Well, no. In the end, it's not whether you're for or against net zero. This isn't the point. The point is they're going to decimate our coastline, you know, and it's going to be for generations to come, if not forever. Now, what our pollution on the Isle of Man is an absolute... You probably can't even measure it. It's ridiculous. But that's beside the point. There must be some other solution for this green agenda that they've got, rather than decimating our coastline for generations of our kids and their kids and kids after that. They should hold their heads in shame. They should never stand up and say that they are Manx people.
So do you think should be a referendum alongside the general election next year?
There's got to be a referendum, because... I was going to say something, but I won't. These people that are making these decisions need to stand up and listen to the public of the Isle of Man, because it's a bigger issue than they think it is. Now, whether you're for the Greens or you're against the Greens, it's a different thing, but it's decimating our coastline forever. And these things are going to be huge. Never mind about all the concrete and the steel that they're going to have to put in, the fishing, all the rest of it. They need to be counted for this, and they will be, because the Manx public will not forget and they will not forgive.
Okay. All right. Peter, we appreciate it. Thanks for those 2 points today.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. 24 minutes past 12. And John's with us now. Hello, John.
Hello there, that man.
Hi, John.
That is really, listening to the last two callers, how interesting. I mean, just to state initially, I believe that this government is the worst government we've ever had in the Isle of Man. They're failing on every front. I mean, mainly, at the moment, the person, I've been advocating on various issues with the government for many, many years. Effectively, I'm nearly 80 now. I'm 79 at the end of September, and I've had problems with diabetes and eye problems for years, and I've just been told I can't drive anymore, and discover that currently there are 1,800 people waiting for cataract surgery in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, that queue's gone right back up again, hasn't it?
Well, because, they've done what they did last year when they stopped all, the cancer treatment and everything, or tried to in the UK. They're basically doing the same thing again. They're basically, they've not continued to use the group from Scotland. And they've got one surgeon. They don't have any surgeons employed directly on the island anymore. And effectively, they bring a surgeon over once a month. And also the ophthalmic people have been pushed into the general surgical ward, which means they have very limited access to all the surgical requirements. So they can only do 40, 50 operations a month. And it's, the cataract surgery is the simplest and least expensive op that there is. It takes about 15 minutes. And, it's most likely not costing the health service over here more than a couple of £1,500, £2,000 an eye. Or less. And The result is, I've just been told I can no longer drive because my eyes have deteriorated very rapidly, or the cataracts have. And effectively, it's quite likely that in another couple of months, I'll be at least blind in at least one eye. I mean, as you know, we're family carers as well. So I can't expect my partner to support me being blind because she's got more than enough work supporting our family member, you know, the family member that we have who's disabled, and my daughter who has significant problems as well. So what's going to happen? Am I going to have to, you know, I don't know.
What do you want to happen, John?
Well, basically, I think we need a new government. I mean, you know, I mean, linking to what the previous person was talking about, you know, the green scheme and everything else and carbon neutral. I mean, I've, as you possibly remember, been with the company, I'm technical director, I've been developing carbon neutral housing in the island for close on 20 years. And effectively, we've recently discovered that we achieve what's called passive house standard, or we could. We haven't actually gone to the standard, attained the standard, because it's expensive, and I believe it's unnecessary in the level that it is. But the house complies with all the regulations that apply to passive house. But last year, the British government started developing a standard, a UK standard for net zero, which is going to be launched fully next year, by the end of this year. Last year, they released the pilot version. And when I went through it, what I realised was that what we had done in Victoria Road in Douglas fits exactly the parameters they've laid out in that standard. And all we have to do is put 8 kilowatts of solar PV on the roof of this property and we'll be carbon neutral. Right? Now, government is not interested. They've stated categorically they do not want to know about it, right? Moreover, what we can do, we can actually build these properties within existing, in that volume, within existing social and affordable housing budgets, right, to carbon neutral, right? But I know from meeting with various members of the construction industry here, the big developers, they're not interested in modular construction. They don't want it. They want to carry on building in masonry, which global warming is making ever more difficult. I mean, to take an example, the nursing home at the top of Victoria Road was supposed to cost between £9 and £10 million. It ended up, because of bad weather and God knows what else, costing £14.6 million. And if they had have used one of the systems that we are advocating, it would have been completed in a year at a cost of about £6 million. They're not interested. Now you tell me why.
Why do you think? I mean, in your words, that government is turning their back on this?
Well, because, well, very simply, from my discussions with some of the developers out here, they do not want to have to engage with modular construction. They effectively want to continue building in masonry because effectively the contracts they have wet weather clauses. So it means if they're delayed by the ever worsening weather, they can claim more money on the contract, you know. But I mean, look, we've got the problem with, was it Hartford Homes in Castletown, you know, their problems, which looks like they're potentially going to be liquidated. We don't know.
I think that's Haven Homes, but we don't.
Oh, sorry, Haven Homes.
We don't know the exact financial position there.
Yeah, no. Well, like I say, but it's clear there's big problems there. You know, and I mean, a lot of the problems that certainly I know that the construction people are having at the moment is because of the weather. You know, you cannot effectively build in masonry in, you know, extreme wind and rain. I mean, it's just impossible. And of course, with us being the whole of the Isle of Man being a severe weather area and the proximity to the sea, means that you've got all these masonry buildings being saturated with salt while they're open, which can run into several years. So, you know, what then is going to happen is you're going to end up what's called sick building syndrome, which means, you know, because you've got so much salt, you cannot get, it's almost impossible to get rid of damp and so on and so forth. But this stretches right across. I mean, you know, my experience with Nobles, what's going on, I mean, it's not that the hospital and the concept of Manx Care is wrong. It isn't. It's absolutely right. The problem is that the government is trying to run a demand-led service on a budget, and that is impossible. And they're going further. They're actually stopping people having critical treatment because they're refusing to put the money in to deal with it.
You know? Have you got any sympathy for Manx Care and the government?
I have great sympathy for Manx Care, for the management, and for many of those who work incredibly effectively within there. I mean, there's an ongoing issue at the moment with my daughter, which eventually I suspect is going to blow up into something very, very big, but it's as it's ongoing. I can't really talk about it at the moment. But, I mean, I'm incensed by what I'm hearing from people. And I mean, you know, as a general thing, because I talk to a lot of people and I get feedback from them, it's clear there's a burgeoning fear amongst the Manx population of just what is going on. That effectively, you know, the government's spending all this money for no particular, look, we bought an enormously expensive boat, which isn't basically suitable for the harbours that the damn thing has to use. I mean, it goes on. That's just part and parcel of it. I mean,
okay.
But it's endless. You know, all the money they spent £1 million on that ridiculous concrete lumps that they put along the front of Douglas.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
I don't think that will last more than a couple of years because of the way it's been done, and it goes on from there. I mean, the ridiculous situation of trying to set up a housing association here using the government housing. I talked to the Chief Minister, you know, at the last government conference and said, it's ridiculous. You know, we don't need housing associations here, unlike the UK where housing associations are the only way to deal with the requirement for social housing. You know, we've got all our, in fact, we've got too many local authorities. But the point is that all they were going to end up with is potentially an expensive and badly run, you know, equivalent to the local authority. I could see no advantage to it. And obviously that's now proven true because they've abandoned it. Another £80,000 wasted on, you know, on all sorts of so-called specialists from off island. I mean, I actually ran an experimental housing and construction company back in the 1970s, which was looking at a whole range of issues, including how to provide affordable housing. And I actually gave evidence to the committee that was set up to look at young people's need for affordable housing in the Isle of Man. I showed them how it could be done. Ignored. Where do we go from here? You know, the health service is failing, everything else is failing. I mean, we don't need wind turbines. I mean, we work very closely with the Swedish physicist architect Hans Eek, who, with the company he works with in Sweden, etc., big last year, won the UIA 2030 award for sustainability, which is the highest architectural award in the world. They constructed 2 5-story apartment blocks in Sweden, which, using modular construction, were wind and watertight in 4 weeks, and they were completed in under a year at a cost of £5 million.
And five-storey modular construction?
Yeah. You can go up to 12. They're currently building they're just completing a 12-storey version in modular, which was going up at 2 storeys a week, right?
I mean, okay. All right.
It's, you know, we are so far behind the time in the Isle of Man, and the government is doing effect. I mean, look, we've been waiting for over a year for the new green scheme to come in. I've made lots of presentations to them about what they should do. I mean, effectively, at the moment, we're working with a client on a 1950s bungalow in Onchan, which we are with him. Retrofitting to what could be very close, if not achieving, carbon neutral, right? At a very reasonable cost when you look at the overall work that's been done. And, you know, so many new technology that is tried and tested, and yet nobody touches it, nobody wants to know it.
Okay.
No.
All right. We're going to leave it there, John. But thanks for stay in touch, would you? Because some very interesting
stuff. I'll keep you updated on what's going on. Oh, the one other thing is we are actually making a presentation. You know, the college are running a biosphere event at the Villa Marina on the 16th and 17th. Yeah. We will be presenting, myself and my architect, Steve Crowther, will be presenting what we have done and what we are doing in one of the rooms from 11:30 the 17th. So, you know, the more people, the rooms we've got only fits 50 people, but, you know, I would push a lot of people to attend what the college are doing, because if we're not careful, we're going to lose our biosphere status, and what the college is doing is going to reinforce the potential for us to retain that.
Okay, all right. We appreciate it. John, good to hear from you, as always. A note in from Steve in Onken, who says, Andy, the new food regime's been applied across the board at all schools, even departments of junior schools that have children with additional serious ability needs who are fussy eaters by the nature of their conditions. My friend's daughter is coming home distressed, full of anger, lashing out due to her condition. There's a negative side to the wind farms, but Big John says, stop and think of the legacy that we're leaving for the future. Wind farms will help slow down climate change for future generations. We're thinking of our future.
You've worked hard all morning in IT, doing computery things, or in retail, assisting ungrateful customers, or doing whatever it is you lovely people do. But now, it's lunchtime, and you, my friend, deserve something special. From Smash and Fry. Take your lunch to a new level with our delicious pizzas, fried chicken, smash burgers and milkshakes. Lunchtime is your time. Visit Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. You deserve it.
At Lifestyle Furniture, we know a few things about furniture. We know that not everyone likes the same styles or designs, so we stock the most amazing eclectic range of furnishings for every room in the house. We also know that our customers like interest-free credit, free delivery and free fitting. So why not pop into our two-story showroom open 7 days a week? Lifestyle Furniture. It's everything your home's been waiting for. See our website for details. Credit subject to status.
The Festival of Motoring 2025 is going topless, with this year's theme being convertibles. The Festival of Motoring's charity wing, Sporting Bears, will be fundraising for local charity, Lookies Aid. In exchange for a small donation, you can take a ride from Douglas Promenade in one of a selection of convertibles, with every penny going directly to Lookies Aid. So make it a date, Saturday 20th, to see the convertible classic car display on Douglas Prom Walkway. For full schedule and more information, visit iomfm.com.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
21 minutes before what? Robert's on now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I wish it was happier times, but I'm a bit perturbed, to be honest. Well, perturbed's the wrong expression, but I'm a bit moody, to be honest with you, with the fact that we're not getting paid on the non-working classes. You know, the cost of things is just horrendous. You know, we literally, you know, you go into a shop and I think I got cornflakes and milk and, you know, it cost a fiver for that. I mean, it's not too expensive, but, you know, when you go into a shop and you get a BAP and stuff like that, it can be 7, 8, 9 quid, you know. And maybe I'm just moaning in the wrong direction, but, you know.
Well, prices have a habit of going up, don't they, Robert?
Yeah, but how does that help us? It doesn't, does it?
Well, prices just go up, don't they? Everybody has to. I mean, it affects everybody across the board. Prices will go up. I mean, prices very rarely come down, don't they?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we're not getting paid enough. and I was wondering when there's going to be another evaluation of the, you know, income support and capacity and non-working people, because, you know, you just can't afford to live. I'm literally on Athol Street. It's a James walking and look like a bit like a Robin, you know, in a red top and stuff. And I see, you know, the inequality. I don't want to be Gary Economics too much, but, you know, it's there, to be honest. And I see, you know, people walking around with iPhones and, you know, great things, to be honest with you. You know, all that's going to fizzle out. You know, you're just giving away all your information over onto another platform. You don't know who's behind it, you know, to be honest with you. I can see that, you know, it's just a draining of information from, you know, smaller people to larger people to even larger people. You know,
It's a bit late now. That's been going on for years.
But, I mean, it's going to go pop, is what I'm saying, because, you know, there's going to be a point at which the younger, the lower classes, or not the lower class, but the non-working classes won't be able to keep on giving it over. I'm not saying we need to rise up or anything like that, but there's just going to come a point where there's going to be nothing left, because they're just draining resources, like June or something like that, with, you know, the big machines over the desert and stuff like that. You know, it's just, I mean, where's the soul? You know, we've lost soul. You know, there's no, I mean, before I said I want to keep the spirit going, but, you know, when you go down, I had a change today. I mean, I don't really offer one, but I went and made a switch on my phone over the Manx Telecom shop, and I walked up to Java Lounge, and I don't want this to be on my personal blog, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't share, but I went into the Java Lounge and got a coffee, and the coffee was too hot, and it was a plastic cup, and all that type of thing. I just think that there's nothing in it. You know, there's nothing there.
Robert,
it's a nihilism to be honest.
Chin up, Robert. It's Friday. It's the weekend.
Well, I mean, I just think we need to get paid more.
Okay, all right. Thanks for that, Robert. Could you ask today on Man in Line, does anybody know when the road from St Jude's to Andreas will reopen? It's been 6 weeks now, says this correspondent, and no signs or statements of when it's going to reopen. That's the St Jude's to Andreas Road. Traffic is destroying the vergers in the lanes to get to Andreas now. So can we find out when that's going to happen? Beach Buddies isn't going to happen this Sunday. Having missed last weekend because of the weather, Beach Buddies really wanted to get back into action again on Sunday, but the weather forecast is shocking for Sunday. So they're calling off Sunday's volunteer beach team session. Back again next week, they hope. If you're a Beach Buddy, you'll know all about that. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Also, that the World Tin Bath Championship gets ahead tomorrow the 13th, in Castletown Middle Harbour. Hundreds of competitors are expected. It gets underway at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. It's the World Tin Bath Championship in Castletown. People will just have to get used to wind turbines, says this correspondent. They'll never build another traditional power station after the ME loans debacle 20 years ago. And there's plenty of wind in the Irish Sea when it's not windy, says Andy. Well, we'll see for the future. You never know. And certainly everybody talks about the fact that the election next year is going to centre around net zero and whether or not, and bearing in mind last time, just about every candidate was talking about green issues. It was the first thing on the list. It was ahead of housing. Green issues were there. What do you think is going to happen? I must sound like a broken record. Not me. Texter 490. But I wish people would drive with their lights on. It's not just cyclists disguising themselves in dark clothing with no lights in the side of the hedges. It's cars as well. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or bright sunlight. It has the same effect that they're difficult to see from a distance, especially under trees and with the sun behind them. It's going to be hard to live with if there were an accident due to inconsiderate people not having the common sense to make themselves visible on the road. Put your lights on, says that correspondent. Here's Barry with us now. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Andy. Good afternoon to you. It's a good show today, a really good show, and there's been some good calls, so I just felt compelled to ring in. And I'm not going to keep you much of your time. I've got two subjects, and they're going to be both fairly brief.
Okay.
The first one is to do with taxis. So I spoke to you about two months ago, and it was to do with taxi ranks, lack of spaces. I gave you the numbers, 98 taxis ply for hire in Douglas, 6 spaces on Victoria Street, and kind of came up with a few ideas at that time.
Yeah.
One of the other callers phoned in, texted in, and said Barry should speak to the minister. So I went to the roadshow in Peel. I spoke to the minister. The minister I found was very nice. She was very charming. She seemed to listen. She seemed to really kind of want to help. But sadly, 2 or 3 months later, absolutely nothing has happened. Now, since then, we've gone through, to be honest, it's been a quiet summer. But, you know, we've had the university students back. We've had some holidaymakers over. We've had some cruise ships. We've had, we've had a few sort of busy times, you know. So in actual fact, we've managed away. But last night was absolutely dire in town. It was a Thursday night. Queues and queues of taxis all over the place. Just a miserable existence being in this job now after 20 years. You know, I've given this job my dedication, my time, my skills. It's dire. You know, we are, in the words of a very, very good friend of mine, we are a forgotten trade. And I just, you know, disappointed with the minister. If the minister's listening, or, you know, Minister Cannon is listening, or anyone is listening, you know, I've just had enough. It's just dire. As long as the taxi traders pays its licensing fees, pays its registration, pays everything that we have to pay, they don't care about us. You know, 6 spaces. I've been out today for 1.5 hours, and I've done one job, and there's just taxis going round and round and round and round trying to find somewhere to park. And then they're talking about green this and green that. Well, how can it be green if we're just driving around trying to find just to sit and turn the engine off? That's the first one. Second one is equality. Now, this is a personal one for me, right? And I'm going to try to... I've been through a tough time. In the last 15 months, I got separated and I got divorced. I've got 2 young children, and I've had a major to do with the Social Security Department. I believe that I was a victim of inequality. I believe that the Social Security people were not interested in my case, in my situation. And I believe that my protected characteristic as a man was not taken seriously. I complained to the Equality Tribunal. After much ado, I was invited into the Equality Tribunal. And I have to say, in support of Mr. Robert Shaw, I was bullied by the AG department in a big way, in a very serious way. My divorce, between the little bit before up to the time when my financial settlement was concluded about 3 weeks ago, cost me all of my savings. Every single penny that I had for my retirement is now gone. And I'm going to put the number on it because I don't care. I'll tell it as it is. £192,000 my divorce cost me. And I needed a little bit of help from the Social Security Department regarding child support for one of my 2 children. And I took that all the way to the Equality Tribunal, and I was brought in for what was called a pre-hearing. And I believe, coming out of there, that the AG office run the show there. I was treated in a very, very bad way, and my case was actually put on what was called a stay. I'd never heard of a stay before. I couldn't afford representation because, you know, obviously divorce, as I told you, it's just cleaned me out. So, you know, the very idea that I could have any representation was farcical in itself. And it's actually very difficult to get any help from government if you can't actually claim child support, which was one of the reasons as to why I spoke to you about 3 months ago when the government decided they were going to try and take away employed persons allowance for self-employed people, because essentially if you're not claiming for child benefit, you can't claim that either. So I believe I've been the victim of inequality, and I believe that the AG office completely rules the show there. They were sat in the room before I got even into the room. I believe that there was probably things happened that shouldn't have happened, and I completely agree with Mr. Robert Shaw. It was a farcical situation from start to finish. And that's really all I want to say. I've experienced it firsthand.
Well, I have to say, we really appreciate your honesty today. And obviously,
always
everybody will sympathise with the position you're in. And we only hope that matters start to improve.
They really are improving all the time. And I've got two gorgeous children, and my mum herself is improving in Ireland. So, listen, I'm doing all right. I'll only ever come on here when I have something serious to say, but I completely understand the sentiments of a lot of people in the Isle of Man. You know, this last 4 to 5 years, it's just tough here right now. I don't know what's going on, but to me it just feels like a real case of the government and us. You know, we pay our money in to keep people in a far better position, but both for their current life and their future life. And then there's people like me that can't even seem to be able to claim £20 a week child benefit for one of my two children. It's a farcical situation, Andy. But listen, I don't like ringing you, but I do like you. I don't like ringing because, you know, I don't ring in for the sake of it. I ring in because I really want to try and sort of instill some thoughts and instill some change into the Isle of Man. But this is a tough place to change. That's all I want to say to you today. And I wish you all the very best and all the listeners a very good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Barry. We appreciate it. You have been heard.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows.
If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain,
keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again.
Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you.
Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Discover Bathline, the new name in bathrooms at Haldane Fisher. Visit their brand new bathroom and tile showroom in Douglas for a stunning range of bathroom styles and designs. Or get inspired online at bathline-bathrooms.im. Whether traditional or contemporary, Bathline's dedicated in-house bathroom designers will bring your dream bathroom to life. Bathline at Haldane Fisher. Designed for living.
Still looking for a way out of their current poor form? Can FC Isle of Man get something to cheer about back in front of a home crowd this Saturday? The Ravens play host to Charnock Richard in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend, looking to bring an end to a run of 5 straight defeats. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Charnock Richard, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wink.
7 minutes to 1. Here's Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK. Jason Morehouse, Faster Mike. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon.
Now, you've had something special to eat, I hear.
Yeah, I was listening to the start of the show, the concern over school lunches, and I was in Ballaston. I thought I'd just pop into the primary school and find out what's going on. And it was a 10 out of 10. It was a fantastic lunch.
What was for lunch then in Ballasalla today?
It was cheese pie and baked beans and fruit, a glass of Isle of Man milk, and it was just done to a really high quality. And when you've had a good meal, you kind of feel full, but you kind of feel kind of refreshed, and it's just, yeah, really good, honest food. And
what was the atmosphere like in the dining room? Were the children happy? Did they appear happy with their food?
Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. It was calm. The children were just talking quietly to one another. They were enjoying the meal. Several came out and spoke to me, and they spoke favourably about the lasagna they'd had and the cheese pie they had. And probably the most amazing thing was they were actually collecting the waste and weighing it. And the difference between the waste of the prepared meals that had been provided by the school and the packed lunch waste was incredible. It was about a tenth of the amount. So the children are eating it and enjoying it. And yes, I think they've made a few tweaks along the road. And yeah, it was a pleasure to be there, and I enjoyed it completely.
Right. Okay. Which school was it you were at?
Balasella.
Okay. All right. Well, we wish them well, and we'll see what happens for the future. Thanks, Jason. Good to hear from you.
No worries at all. Have a great weekend.
You
Thank
too
you.
As
Bye.
Well. Thanks for calling today. I got a message in from Jane who said, Andy, I had the misfortune to travel from Heysham to the Isle of Man on the boat. I've got no problems with the boat. I think the Manxman's a lovely vessel, but crikey, that Heysham site. Dear me, is the steam packet in charge of that? Says Jane, or is there an organisation that runs that? Because for not the first time, there was no snack bar working. Apparently, the staff were sick. The person was sick. There were 7 security guards checking under cars, frisking people, and ushering people towards the loos. But nobody could be bothered to put some chips on.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
And after all these years, nobody's cleaned up the pigeon droppings around Heysham Port. If you walk out of the waiting area towards the car queues, there are pigeon droppings everywhere there. A desolate railway station, a solitary bus shelter, a weed-infested vehicle yard. Oh dear me. Filthy and worn children's seats inside. And in the kids' zone, Postman Pat's been there for 15 years. He's been there so long, it's 30p for Postman Pat. Will somebody please, please, please modernise Heysham Port for the Isle of Man steam packet? We've got a Rolls-Royce boat and a Ford Prefect for a port. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today.
WIN.